So here's the next step. How did that go for you? What questions do you have? What do I need to know?
Excellent.
Excellent? Excellent questions, comments, concerns? Anything come up that you needed? Yes, like, geez. Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, that's fine. And then you drop it in there. Yeah. Now let's take a look at the next step. Here's the next step. So once we understand, once we've got the client's values completely elicited, the next step is going to be to assist them in finding, we're going to evaluate the values hierarchy. Okay, so once we've got, and by the way, this is starting to formulate our before picture. Now we're going to evaluate the values hierarchy. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look for a logical level of abstraction. Now, what we mean by a logical level of abstraction, while this is, by the way, let me throw this in here at this point. While this is the first thing that we look for, to me, it's not necessarily the most important. The most important we're going to be moving on the next slide. But this is the first thing you'd look for. You might look at the logical level of abstraction. Like, is the number one value the most abstract? As you look at this, like compensation, is that the most abstract? And then you'd say, are all the other values a subset of the higher value? In a perfect world, the number one value would be most abstract, and the other ones would lead toward that higher level value. Okay? Would be the most abstract. If the values were, and by the way, as I mentioned before, I just said this before, this is one thing that you would look for in terms of evaluating the hierarchy, but from my perspective, it's not the most important. In fact, when I work in values work, I will rarely concern myself too much with this, although I will sometimes be aware of it. Like, I keep this in the back of my mind. But I know that the most of the challenges that somebody might have that are inherent inside their value system would probably not be due to this. They'd be due to some other things that we're about to take a look at. But in a perfect world, the values would be most abstract, with the number one value being the most abstract and the others being subsets of that value or leading toward the accomplishment of that value. So we'd look at number two and we go, okay, does that lead to the accomplishment of number one? Does number three lead to the accomplishment of number one? Are they subsets of it? And is that one the most abstract? And do they descend in level of abstraction in an ideal world? It says number two, the other thing that we could look for is syntax. Does this support the actualization of the next higher value? And that's, I actually mentioned both of those together. So the levels of abstraction from abstract down, and then does the one underneath support the actualization of the one above it? Okay, so those are a couple of things we could look for. Here's the things that are going to make more of a difference in terms of whether an individual has the ability or is actualizing their goals or really accomplishing what they want. The first one is motivation direction. This is similar to what we do in Breakthrough to Success. The question is the underlying motivation on each value? Yeah, thanks. Is the underlying motivation on each value what is wanted or what is not wanted? Okay, where's the focus on each value? And what we're going to look for on the underlying motivation of each value is negations, comparative deletions, or modal operators of necessity. Now, what do I mean by all that? What I mean is that at some point, once we've numbered them all, we're going to turn the values hierarchy back to the individual, and we're going to say, okay, as you look at compensation, why is that important to you? And they're going to list some answers. Now, they may talk in toward language. They may talk about what they want, and they may talk about what they don't want. Oh, by the way, before we get too deep into this, I will mention a couple of groups I noticed were asking if they should list, like if somebody mentioned an away from value, like not having, not being abandoned, or not being broke, or something like that. If they listed it like that, I noticed a couple of the groups were saying, should we convert it to the positive? I said, absolutely not. If the client states it in a negative way, that value should be listed in the negative, in the way the client stated it, because that would be the height of denial for the client. If they're just converting it to the positive, they said it in a negative way, that means their focus on it is a negative. Their focus is negative. Well, what's important to you in a relationship? Well, not being abandoned. Oh, do you mean that it's important that the person stay with you? Uh-uh. You wouldn't want to say that. Like they say, what's important to you in the context of a relationship? Not being abandoned. Oh, do you mean it's important to have a committed relationship? The practitioner should never say that. The master practitioner should never say that. should never convert the client's words to the positive in doing values elicitation. You need to take the values as they are, because the value for that person is not being abandoned. The value itself is not being abandoned.
So what you're saying is that even if it's a negative value,
you let it stand. For the moment, in the beginning, we let it stand.
So the mistake the practitioner would make would be sort of clarifying that, and then they couch it in this term, which is not always.
Exactly. Yeah. So well stated. The mistake that the practitioner, or that a master practitioner could make, would be to clarify it and state it in different terms that wasn't really that person's value, when that person's value was really, hey, not being abandoned. And that's really, by the way, because if they stated that way, that means that's where their focus is. That's where they're pouring their energies. As a result, they'll tend to attract that to themselves. So we want to find out what's really going on in this person's life so that we can then deal with those issues and we can heal, assist them in bridging the gap and healing it. So if the client states a negative word like anxiety, another example would be, what's important to you in the context of health? And they say, well, not being fat. If they mention that in their values, you say, oh, do you mean being slim? Do not say that. Instead, you go, oh, so not being fat is important to you in the context of your health. They go, yep, and you write that down. Yep. Now, at this point, what we're going to do is, so we may have some negatively stated values in the values hierarchy, but that's part of understanding what the values really are versus what the client would want them to be, right? So we want to be honest with, we want to be real honest up front. Then we want to find the underlying value underneath, underlying motivation or focus on each value. So that focus is going to be made clear to us in a couple of ways. First off, we're just going to go to each value and we're going to say, why is that important to you? Now, somebody could say compensation is important to them because they want to make a lot of money, they want to live in luxury, or they could say it's because they don't want to be broke, or because they have to pay the bills, or so that they can get by, so they don't have to struggle. All of those last things that I just mentioned were away from reasons. Okay? And we're not going to talk about positive or negative, we're just going to talk about toward versus away from.